Well, good morning, saints of God. This is Ty Moore bringing you your online Bible school with Grace Institute. And we are sharing this with our other discipleship group, PowerPoint Motivational Word, PowerPoint Discipleship, and Favor Media. We want to welcome you to our Tuesday's morning edition. We want to thank you so much for being a part of this discipleship group, because this is what it is, our purpose of being on a regular basis. It is to help disciple those whom God has called into the kingdom, and you understand your purpose, or helping you to understand your purpose here on the earth so that you could be the best version that God has created you to be. And so this morning, I want us to go back into Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 19, and also in Luke chapter 12 and looking at verse 16. It's basically somewhat of the same parable, but I like the way Luke put this, because when we talk about application of the kingdom, what we're doing is it's showing you that we know what the kingdom of God is now. We understand that the kingdom of God and right standing with God functions together, like as grace and faith function together. Faith and hope, patience and faith. So we can intertwine faith, grace, love, all of these things intertwined together, because why? They're all part of the new birth. They're all part of the new identity that we have that is in Christ Jesus. And so without having the new birth, then, you know, none of these manifestation of these anointing will profit in our lives. And so it's a wonderful thing to understand that I'm born again. I'm filled with the Spirit of God. I've been sanctified, I'm made holy, made righteous, set apart for his use. And so when we say we're sanctified, what we're saying, we're set apart, meaning we have come out of the world system because we've been born again. And now the Holy Ghost is the teacher that's teaching us now how to conform, how to live the life of Christ that's in us, how to display it in our attitude, in our behavior, in our thinking, in choices that we make, how to harness our emotion when we hear negative report, and et cetera. And it goes on. It teaches us this anointing that's in us through the new birth. It also teaches us how to live a prosperous life, amen, a healthy life, a whole life, a sound life. So the kingdom of God is not just about the forgiveness of sin, but when we talk about the kingdom of God in this aspect, it is to teach you how to live life, even in this physical realm that seems to be wonk. What's going on in the world is not a means whereas it can hinder us or hold us back. Remember, we live in the world, but we're not of the world. And that's a big difference. And so because we're not of the world, then we know who's the creator of the world. The Bible said in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We also know how the heavens and the earth were created. In John 1:1 said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So we know it was, Hebrews 11:3 say, we understand that the worlds were framed, how? By the Word of God. So we understand now that the kingdom of God is of words. It will one day be a physical kingdom, but right now Jesus is speaking of a spiritual kingdom whereby it is abiding in us. As Psalm 91 says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, one translation says, shall remain stable. See, and notice this, that no foe can come about, can come again. So that's who we are. That means we in the world, we see storms of life, we hear of things, we hear of tragic, we hear of epidemics, we hear of crisis that may be on the earth here and there, but we are of the kingdom of God because God has a purpose for us to be here, not to be taken by the crisis or the pandemic or the epidemic, whatever it may be, but for us to diffuse it. Well, you can't diffuse something in a system that's real because it is governed by a satanic core, a satanic nature, a satanic force. And that force is of darkness, is a kingdom of darkness. And so you and I have to be the one that when evil stands up, then we as that is born of God is to diffuse those things that's trying to bring harm to God's creation, to God's creature. And so that's why all this week and maybe next week, we're dealing with application of the kingdom. So in order for you to understand how you release faith in the kingdom of God, you release faith in the kingdom of God through words spoken. Not just words spoken out of your mouth or out of your head, but words spoken that you have a revelation of. You have an understanding of that truth. And when you open your mouth and speak it by faith, by a belief, by a trust, what you're stating is when you open your mouth, you're saying, I spoke it, therefore I believe it, so therefore I say it. And so, and that's what Mark 11, 23 is. Jesus said, if you had faith as a seed, you would be able to say to this mountain. See, and the mountain is a figurative. It could be a physical, it could be an actual. It doesn't make a difference. When you have an understanding of the truth of the kingdom of God, then you are able to function in that arena, and nothing shall be impossible to him that believe. And that's the fact about the kingdom of God. It puts you and I at a place that we are always in a place of taking advantage. We have the advantage. Amen. And that's what 2 Corinthians 2:14, thanks be unto God, which always causes us, or me, to do what? To triumph. See? Thanks be unto God. He's the one that's causing you to triumph. Why? Because the kingdom lives inside of us. The Holy Ghost is in there giving light to the entrance of God's word. And it's revealing the path. It's revealing the stance that we need to take. Are you following me? He's always speaking to you and I through our born again spirit. And as we have ears to hear, as we have eyes to see, not just, I'm talking about physical, I'm talking about spiritual eyes, spiritual hearing, that means understanding, then we can release our faith. And then once we release our faith on the crisis, on the pandemic, the epidemic, then our physical eyes, physical hearing, and everything about us will what begin to enjoy or taste that which is already so in our spirit. And in other words, I've already saw it. So when I do, when it does show up, it's not like, I'm just so amazed. No. It's like once you see it in the spirit, and when it physically shows up, it's just like, praise God. You know, I'm excited, but not to the place where it's like, I see it, but I don't believe. No. You've already saw it through your imagination. And so once it revealed itself, it showed up, it's just like, glory to God. Praise God. Why? Because what you say, that's my God. That's him proving his word. And you're expecting that. You are not expecting anything less than that. That's what we're talking about, the application of the kingdom of God. It is, notice it, the kingdom of God came in with words, It functions with words. It manifests itself through words. Words of God, the Word of God. Not your words, not our traditions, not our religious background. It focuses on the Word of God. So that means once I understand the Word of God, I build relationship, fellowship in the Word of God, then I become more confident. I become more at rest. I become more at peace. Not my spirit. My spirit already is at peace. But my heart, it needs to have a confidence. It needs to be at a place that I can rest in my mind. I can rest in my heart, in my body. I can rest when I look at my bank account and to know that greater is He that's in me than that which I see that is before me. Why? Because I'm born again of the kingdom of God. Okay, so let's go back here and let's look at this again in Matthew chapter 6. And then we're going to go back to Luke chapter 12 as we opened up yesterday. So we always take about a couple of days to lay these foundations, whatnot. And so we look here in Matthew chapter 6. And here we're going to look up, I'm going to read this time out of the Amplified version. And it says here in Matthew 6:19, it said, "Do not gather and heap up and store up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moth and rust and worn consume and destroy." Okay, it says, "And where thieves break through and what? Steal." Can you see that? Verse 20 says, "But gather and heap up and store for yourself where? Treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust or worms consume and destroy, and where thieves do not break through and steal." So you get the idea that this is talking about words of kingdom. See, when you anything that's natural, that's physical, it come, it go. But when it's spiritual, it can't be taken. It has no ending. Now, I can lose the velocity of walking in divine health if I don't continue to speak healing scriptures to my body. What I mean by the velocity, if I just say, well, I'm in health, I'm in good health, and I just take it for granted that, something happened. No, it's not just happening. It's not automatic. I have to use the Word of God that is incorruptible. I can eat all the right food. I can take all the right minerals and drink all the proper amount of liquid or whatnot. If I put my faith in that, I'm still doomed. But if I do the part that I can do and use the Word of God as my final leg, my final authority, then guess what? There's no rust. There's no worm can consume. There's nothing can steal. Because that word comes from God. Can you see what I'm saying? So all my faith is not in my exercise, and it's not in my eating habits or whatnot. My faith is in God. But my eating and my exercise is part of my acting, my belief of the Word doing its part in my life. You know, the Bible tells us to exercise, but it says it profited what? Little. That little just simply means why I'm here on the earth. See, because I still have a physical body. And so it's not glorified. When I get a glorified body, then exercise is not needful. Because it can't age. It can't get overweight. It can't be contaminated in no way. The purpose of exercise and the purpose of eating right is why? Because you can become overweight. And some of it can become deadly. Some of it can affect your health. Some of it can affect your call. That's the purpose of eating right and exercising, but to put all my faith in the eating right and the exercise, nope, that's wrong. Your faith should be in God and God alone. What I do in the natural is an act. of saying, I trust God's word. Amen? So notice this. So here in verse 21, it says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So again, if my heart just only in just because I read what the medical science say, or I read what the scientists say about because they understand the physical body and et cetera, well, I want to learn from people who have great insight, okay? But again, I'm not putting all my faith or my trust in just what they say. Because guess what? God created this body. Because I could still eat the right things. I could still do the exercise and still fall sick to something or whatever. But when I take the word of God and it says, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. What am I doing? I'm applying application of the kingdom of God for help. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Every tongue that rises up against me in judgment, I should be the one to condemn. See, notice that I should be the one. I'm the one who have to condemn, you know, the arthritis that wants to come. They're trying to say you got arthritis. I'm the one to condemn cataracts that wants to say you got cataract blindness in your eye. I'm the one to condemn that say, well, you got memory loss. You know, you got to give yourself a break. You're getting a little old. All of these kind of things, that's under the curse. Christ, Galatians 3:13, application, has redeemed me from the curse of the law, being made a curse for me. So I was with him on that tree. Cursed is everyone that hanging on that tree, that the seed, the blessing of Abraham may come upon them. So what is the application? I've been redeemed. Health, I call health in this body. I call 20/20 sight in my eyes. I call my brain, the memory of my mind is blessed. The Bible said in Proverbs 10, I think it's 10:12, the memory of the righteous is blessed. Proverbs 18:21, life and death is in the power of the tongue. So what am I saying to my mind? What am I saying to my eyes? See, that's the application of the kingdom. See, the application of the kingdom of God is what? You're taking the authority that you have as the righteousness of God. See, you're not righteous because of what you do. You're righteous because of whose you are. God made you righteous. But it came through the blood of Jesus Christ. So that's what gives you that right. That's what gives you that confidence. But their heart, sometimes our heart, the renewing of the mind, if your mind is not renewed with the word of God, it will talk you out of these benefits. It will let you know, well, you don't qualify because of this. And it will just start taking you down a long back row of old fables and tell you why this can't happen for you. No, there's no such thing as can't. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Notice what I said. I didn't say with you. I said, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. So my part is to do what? I got to exercise the faith of Christ by saying. If I don't put my mouth on the promise and believe what the word says and begin to speak the word to my body, to my finances, to my family, to my ministry, to the things that God has put in my hand, then guess what? I'm leaving it up to natural wear and tear. I'm leaving it up for demonic forces to get in and just cause a quicker deterioration in whatever there is. Why? Because there is no resistance. Faith, the word of God, is the resistor to arthritis, to aging, to blindness, to lack. Until you have the word, till you put the word of God on your lips and you understand that, hey, I don't do this because I feel like it. I do this because it's a revelation. You already know your physical part of you, your mental disposition part of you, it wants to just not do anything. It wants to just only do, it only wants to say what make feel good, what make funny, and etc. But when it's come to speak the truth over who you are and calling those things that be not as though they were. No, your body don't want to do that. Your mind don't want to do that. Why? Because it does not retain God. It's not born again. Ephesians 1:14 says, but we have this promissory note that you have obtained full redemption, but you don't get this glorified soul. You don't get this glorified body until you leave the earth. But why I'm here, I can teach it how to respond to the truth, and I can live out life until 100, 120 years of age, healthy, whole, in my right mind, strong in my body, continue to do what? Walking in the thing that God purposed for my life. It don't start when I get 90. It start now. Are you listening to what I'm saying? So if you want the application of the kingdom of God to work in you, don't look at what someone else does. Don't look at what someone else. Begin to start speaking words of life over your own body. Begin to take authority. That's part of the kingdom, is taking authority. That was, so the sovereignty of God is that you do what? You take God at his word and obey his word the way he has created it for you and I. Not to say God's sovereign, well, this couldn't have happened if God wouldn't allow it to happen. Well, God didn't allow it to happen because God don't have no pain. God don't have no sickness. God don't have no anger. You know what I'm talking about, that anger, no bad temper, no malice. God don't have any of that. There is a righteous anger. That righteous anger is for you to get upset about the condition in your body and say, I refuse this. I rebuke this. I'm not going to just lay around. I'm not going to cry over this. I'm not going to just, you know, have a pity party over this. No, no, no. The Bible said himself bore my sin and my sickness, my disease in his body. And with his stripes, I was healed. And if I was healed, I am healed. That may not mean a whole lot to you at this moment. But when you continue to rehearse that scripture over and over and you hear yourself saying it, somewhere down the line, faith will come. You may not have faith at the moment when you say it, maybe the first 50 times. But if you keep meditating on that word, you keep looking those scriptures up, and you keep seeing the healing power of God, how people were healed, how people were raised from the dead, faith will come. The only reason faith doesn't come is because faith can't come with a closed mouth. Let me say that to you again. Faith can't come with your mouth closed. Faith come by saying. You got to open your mouth. As 2 Corinthians 4:13 says, we too having the same spirit of faith. Therefore we believe. Therefore, we say or we speak. Mark 11:23 again said, you know, I'm just going through the scripture. We'll get to them later on during the week, but I can cover more ground by quoting them, and then we'll actually go back to them later on. But it said, if you will say to this mountain, be what? Removed. Who have to say it? It has to come out of your mouth. But rather than just it coming out your mouth, you say, well, I said that before. Well, I've done that before and nothing never happened. It did. It just got worse. It just, no. No. Faith come by hearing. That means you don't have enough understanding of what it is that you're believing for, that you're hearing the word of God. But don't quit. Don't give up. Don't say it doesn't work. It is working. It's working for you in the negative. It's work when it doesn't show. It's working because what you say, that never worked for me. Well, guess what? Your faith is in it doesn't never work for you. It's not working. Nothing never changes for you. So it's working, but it's working where? In the negative. It's working in reverse. And because of that law, that authority that you have working for you in the negative, you're going to have to really break that stronghold, because it can become a stronghold, a barrier in your mind that won't let you believe, because it's all you see. All you see, it doesn't work for me. It never happened for me. No, it's working. but it's working in the opposite. To get it to work according to God's law, you're gonna have to break, you're gonna have to bind that barrier. Like 2 Corinthians 10:3-5, it said, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down a stronghold. That pulling down a stronghold, it means barrier. So you have a barrier in your mind that whereas it's blocking the word of life from going forward. Why? Because your belief is it's not working. It never worked. So you can confess the word, but because there's a barrier there, you don't really believe what you're saying. You're just going through the motion. Don't get upset with me. I'm not upset, but if you're going to learn the application of the kingdom of God, you're going to have to first set your mind. That's what you have to do. You have to set your mind to say, I believe the word of God. I believe in the Holy Spirit. You got to set your mind. And when you set your mind on that, and when something that is stored in your memory that wants you to think in unbelief, that wants you to think in doubt, you have to be the one to say, I cast that thought down. You'll know the one that you need to cast down. Not thoughts that are just passing through. The ones that's already established a stronghold in your thinking. That's the one you got to pull down. Because that's the one that won't let you bridge over. You see? And when you have that in you say, no, I cast that thought down. I'm not believing that way no more. I've understand now that my own tradition, my own words of unbelief have painted a picture in my mindset and won't let me go. When you could see that, like I had to see it, you're going to get fighting mad. Amen. Why? Because now you understand that a stronghold was developed in doubt, in unbelief, in fear. Are you following what I'm saying? Because of something that I thought on, something I fed on, something that I allowed to be molded and shaped on the inside of me. That's why Jesus said, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Look what this verse right here said. It's in the next verse. He said, the eye is the lamp of the body. So if the eye is sound, your entire body will be filled with light. What is that saying? The eye is your understanding. It's how you see. It's through perception. So you want application of the kingdom of God? Your perception has to change. And so you can't keep looking at things that keep producing death, that keep producing fear, that keep producing indecisiveness, that keep producing whatever that's... No, you have to shut it off, cut it out. And you're going to have to start feeding on things, as the scripture said right there, again in verse 1, the eye is the lamp of the body. So you see how your perception of what you hear, what you see, it is building in your imagination. That's through your imagination. Your imagination is painting a picture either of defeat or victory. See what it says? If the eye is the lamp of the body. It's just like taking a lamp, a physical lamp. And if you put it under a table, how much light do you think you have? Only just around your feet or what's under the table. But a lamp is not meant to put under a table. A lamp is meant to put on the table so that it can give light to its surrounding. Well, the light of God's word, notice the light is coming through your understanding, your perception of how you conceive the word of God. Let me give you a scripture for that. If you look here at Mark 4, and I like the way Mark put this, and notice this, and I'm going to read this to you also out of the Amplified. Notice this. It says, be careful, and this is Mark 4:24. It says, and he said to them, be careful what you're hearing. Now you're beginning to understand. You say, if the lamp, the eye is the lamp, if the eye be what? If the eye is the lamp of the body, and if your eye is sound, it said, then your whole body will be filled with light. This is how it's filled with light. He said, be careful what you are hearing. Now we understand hearing, perception. Because what you're hearing, how does faith come? Faith comes not only just for the word of God, but unbelief comes the same way. Doubt comes the same way. Indecisiveness comes the same way. By what? Hearing. And your hearing will build forth the perception of how you hear, how you will perceive from that point forward. So however you're listening, however you're hearing, well, however you're partaking, what you're hearing, it is building your perception of how you're going to act. In other words, your body can't go where your mind has not already gone, has not already been. Notice this. And he said to them, be careful what you're hearing. The measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear. Now we're beginning to understand what this is saying here. The measure of thought and study you give to the truth who hear. I'm hearing. So how much time are you giving to the truth of God's word? How much time are you studying the word of God? Because remember, the kingdom, we're talking about application of the kingdom. So if you want the healing to manifest, you want the prosperity to manifest, you want the promotion or the increase, whatever that is to manifest according to the promise of God's word, then guess what? How much time are you giving to, how much thoughts are you giving to the word? How much study are you giving to the word? Listen, I have to close with this. We all love conferences and we all love being in, you know, hearing the word from different people, and I think that's a good thing. But not to the place of where you're just looking to hear to get something, to see what they're going to say, or get a word from them, or get them to spark something in you. No, you're looking to the wrong person. You're putting more faith in a person than you are in God. How about God entrusting you, say, I want you to go to this meeting, I want you to sit there, and I want you to listen. Because that means God now is going to have that person to say something. It may not even be a part of their lesson. But God will have that person to say something just for you because he wants you, he's getting you to hear something. But if you put yourself in a place just to hear what someone's got to say and that's it, and God is not the leading factor of it, oh, you're going to hear something and it's going to bring more confusion. It's going to bring more misunderstanding. It says here, be careful what you are hearing. It says the measure of thought and study you gave to the truth you hear will be measured to you of virtue and knowledge. See that? That come back to you, and more besides will be given to you who hears. So, how are you hearing? Because before the application of the kingdom, whatever that is, that the kingdom of God has already made display to us, I got to have a revelation. I have to have knowledge. Because without having knowledge, wisdom can't be applied. Wisdom is only applied in using what I know. But I have no understanding. I have no knowledge of it. How can wisdom come when there's no knowledge? Wisdom functions from a perspective of teaching you how to use what you already know. I'll say it again. Wisdom functions from the perception of using what you already know. But look at that next verse. It says, for to him who has, will more be given. That's revelation. That's understanding of the truth. Notice this. And from him who has nothing, even what he had will be taken by force. Well, think about it. It's not the Lord that's taking it away. Huh? It's the enemy himself will take it by force. Why? Because you lack understanding. And then it goes on to say, he said, and the kingdom of God is like a man who scatters seeds up on the ground. And then he continues sleeping and rising night and day. And while the seeds sprout and grow and increase, he knows not how. See, that's the key. You're not going to understand how this happened. You're not going to understand how these things taking place. But I'm teaching you that the word of the kingdom, faith will come when you think upon it. Faith will come when you meditate on it. Faith will come when you give thought and study to these truths. And then it's the Holy Spirit that take the words of the kingdom and he begin to give light. He begin to give understanding. He begin to paint the image in you, because you have there's two things we have, image and likeness. That is of God. That's how God created the heavens and the earth. He said, let us make man in our image and likeness, and let them have what? Dominion. You can't have dominion unless you can see it. Unless you have image and likeness, you have understanding how it's taking place. You got knowledge of how God did it. The Bible said, and God said, but God spoke what he had knowledge of that was in him, and wisdom was there to apply the knowledge that God had used, the knowledge that come from God, and it made a display. I pray that this lesson is helping you. You can see that we're starting to get a little bit deeper in this, a little bit broader in this. We're going to pick up these same verses of scripture. I didn't get back to Luke chapter 12 yet, but you understand the concept of what I was speaking about, chapter 12, that this person did not have a kingdom mindset. This person had a mindset based on just themselves. And that's Luke 12, verse 16 through, I think, 20. And it just goes to show you that this person had a mindset of his own. And Jesus told him that night, okay, you know, he talked about what he would do. And Jesus said, this night, food, your soul is required of thee. And then whose stuff will this be? God want us to prosper. God need us to increase. Why? Because it's our prosperity that's going to furnish those who in need, those that will help to do what? To take back that what the devil has stolen. And the devil has some nice stuff that belong to God. But guess what? We as the body of Christ are just beginning to wake up to the thing that we're supposed to be occupying the earth by faith till Jesus comes. And we have to be the one that are multi-billionaires, even as a trillionaire, because we live in a trillionaire economy. So it's possible that we can have $1 trillion in this economy. But not to be a trillionaire or multi-billionaire just for ourselves. It is to buy up. It is to take back what the enemy has used against us. If we're the one that has the good and has the money, then guess what? The enemy have to come to us, and they have to walk according to our way of thinking and our belief. But for most of us, we are yielding to its way. We're yielding to its command. We don't want to, but we don't have the money. We don't have the good. So if I want to manifest the kingdom of God, if I want the application of the kingdom of God to be functional in my life, then I need to make time. I take study to this word. As he said, be careful what you are hearing. The measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that come back to you, and more will be given to you besides that, according to how you hear. Amen. Our prosperity, health, victory, joy come by our believing, come by understanding of whose we are. So it is by faith. and faith alone that's in God. And when you have faith in God, then guess what? Then faith will lead you in acting. Faith will lead you on what you believe. Amen. So we love you. I thank God for you. And as we always say, until the next time, may God's best and his favor be with you. Now, if you love to be a supporter, giving to the favor church, it's right there on your screen that you can sow your seed for to say what, man, that word blessed me. Well, if it bless you, sow it into the favor church so that, hey, it go to show you that you believe what you're saying. So we love you. We'll do it again tomorrow. You can see my dog's taking her head out. She knows it's time for me to finish. We love you now. Bye-bye, everyone.